Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Now, Matthew 1, verse 18 onwards says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet: 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' meaning God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus."
Thank you, Carolyn. Why don't we bow our heads in prayer, everybody? Father, thank you so much for your son, Jesus. Thank you for life, the life that was afforded to us through him. Thank you that he is the reason, not just for this season, but in all time, in every season. We thank you, God, for this opportunity to just remember the gift that we get to have because of your son. And so we just pray, Lord, that you would find your rightful place of being enthroned on the praises of your people this morning. I want to move out of the way that we make much of you, our King Jesus today, in Jesus' name. Amen. So glad you could join us for our Christmas celebration today. We're in a series, for those of you who are guests with us. Can we give it up for those who are here for the first time? Welcome. Welcome, everybody. My name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. So glad you could come and celebrate Christmas with us today. We're in this series. We go through a series of talks called, just a sermon series. And this is where we're landing today. The title of my message is When Life Was Born. When Life Was Born. When life was born. I before we get into it, I just wanted to just highlight this. Many of you who are a part of our Every Nation Brisbane family, and also just to update those of you who are guests with us and watching online, I wanted to just update you all because our family went through quite a rough season as well with the passing of some of our family members in Manila. And I just wanted to acknowledge you all and thank you for praying. I've got a photo here. This is a photo of myself and my brother-in-law, Tina's brother, Kenny. And many of you who have been praying for us, and for those of you who this is your first time in like discovering this, I just wanted to just kind of talk a little bit and testify about the progress and everything that's been happening. So earlier when COVID emerged in the globe, my brother-in-law, who you see photographed with me there, and his wife, my sister-in-law, Tina's sister-in-law, got COVID. They contracted COVID early into the virus. And unfortunately, we lost our sister-in-law to COVID-19 in March, I believe. It was late March. And it was a tragic time for our family. And at the same time, he had contracted the virus and was fighting for his life and spent over 2 months in hospital fighting. And praise God, he's alive. He's alive and he's living today. But can you imagine just all of that goes with it, you know, coming out of a situation of being in a coma for so long and then coming out of it to the glory of God, but then at the same time finding that your wife has passed. It was quite a hard time for our family. And not to discount also that just around a month ago, we also lost Tina's sister, so his sister as well. And it's been a hard season. Don't worry, it's going to lift, all right, this message. Some of y'all are looking at me like, come on, Pastor Nelly, this is Christmas. Why you got to start like that for? It's going to make sense. Because I wanted to highlight the fact that my brother-in-law is full of hope, full of the hope of Christ. And there's this fervency. For those who don't know, his wife, our sister-in-law, Marjorie, she was deaf. She was hearing impaired, so deaf. And they've been married for around 10 years. And it opened up a new world of mission for him, to the point that when he came out of his coma, there's even more fervency in him to take this message of hope that Christ offers us, even more so to this community who literally have not heard the gospel. And so I wanted to get him to just share with all of you, because for those of you who are, you know, well, we're all family. I was going to say, for those of you who are part of the Every Nation Brisbane family, we're all family. Turn to somebody and tell them, you're family. We family. I just wanted to, just as a way of just thanking you all for praying, just to show you a video from him. So I'm just going to show you this video right now. Thank you.
Hello, brothers and sisters from Every Nation Brisbane. Annyeonghaseyo! And from the Philippines, maligayang Pasko sa ating lahat. I'm happy to finally have the chance and the strength to do this video. It's been over 9 months since my late wife, Marjorie, and I were first diagnosed and confined for COVID-19. And all through that time, I know that you guys have been earnestly praying for me, so I would like to express my deepest gratitude to all of you. Your prayers have done so much more than just heal me. My confinement and my close brush with death have ironically and profoundly given me new perspective in life. When I met Marjorie over 10 years ago, a new mission field opened up to me. I was introduced to a completely new culture, and I quickly learned a new language. Little did I know, though, that communicating with the deaf would not be the biggest challenge I would face. I soon realized that the Filipino deaf community is perhaps the most marginalized and disenfranchised sector in Philippine society. But if you're deaf, you're hindered from information and relationships. You're cut off from people. And the deaf by nature cannot read. Think about this. Letters and words are coded symbols of sound and spoken language, which is alien to the deaf. It's like reading Chinese, so how on earth would they ever come to know the written word of God? I had the occasion of accompanying my wife to one of her high school class reunions. We approached one of her classmates, and out of curiosity, we asked, "Do you know Adam and Eve?" She looked perplexed and asked, "Who are they? Are they our classmates?" So imagine this. Someone in her mid-40s, unaware of two human characters of the first story of the Bible. As believers with a mission, I implore you, develop a heart for the deaf and help them integrate into church. Invite them, fellowship with them. As for me personally, this COVID experience, the close brush with death, and the passing of Marjorie, they have all given me this intrusive sense of urgency. Brethren, it is a call to arms. Every soul from every nation, including the deaf nation, desperately need the gospel.
Isn't that amazing? Can we give glory to God for that? His fervency for the gospel is challenging to all of us here today. You know, many of us are on the brink of hopelessness. And if there was ever a time that we needed the hope of Christ that is made more prevalent, especially during a time like Christmas, it's right now. How many of you know that? Like, this world has been through a lot. And so when we see the state of the world in its brokenness, we find ourselves craving for a hope that will sustain. And this hope can only be found in Christ. All right, let me make it a little bit more lighthearted, because I started on a heavy note. I understand that. But let me ask you this question. Have you ever had something break at the time you really needed it? Any of you ever had something break, like right at the time when you really needed it, it failed to work? How many of you like always have a plan B, C, D, E in case anything goes wrong? Anybody here? Okay. How many of you like, nah, if it goes wrong, that so be it. For those of you who know me well, I'm a movie buff. I love movies, and so the experience of going to a movie theater is becoming more and more rare. I think I've only been to a movie theater, some of you like to say, only? But I've only been to a movie theater probably like 10 or 11 times this year, which I know some of you is like, that's more than I go to in a lifetime, Nelly. What do you do with your life? Just prepare talks and watch movies. That's what I do, apparently. But like, it's one of my things to do, one of my favorite things to do, just to kind of unwind. And I love story, and I love the art of making film. And so the movie-making experience, I can still remember the first movie I ever saw. For those of you from Auckland, at the Civic Theater, I remember walking in and seeing this big image, because we were late, of Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker in the first Star Wars movie, The New Hope. And I remember seeing the screen. I'd never seen a screen that big before. And I remember thinking, wow, I think I've found a refuge in the movie theater. But like, even the movie industry. So I have friends that are like in New Zealand, a handful here in Australia, back in Singapore and in the Philippines and Asia, that are having their life really affected by the film industry taking a dive right now, or it's having to repurpose because of things like this. I'll just show you an article, just the headline of an article that was released earlier this week, that Warner Brothers next year are going to release all of their movies simultaneously on HBO Max because they can't pack theaters out anymore, especially in the United States, where they've got them the worst cases of COVID-19 right now. But because of this, you know, the people that are involved in the industry are suffering without jobs. So not just those you see on the screen, but those who are behind the scenes. And so this is not just unique to the film industry. This is actually what you're seeing in a lot of the entertainment industry. Broadway's still shut down. So all of those shows that are in New York, for those of you, anybody here like theater and musicals and that sort of stuff? So all of that industry, again, not just the actors, but everybody behind the scenes, including the owners of those theaters, are losing money. And so we're in this state where we're seeing how broken our world is, and where we've put reliance, or we've put heavy hope in specific things, only to find that those things are broken. And so the question I ask, you know, like in this broken world, when you see how broken our world is, how do we conduct our lives and conduct ourselves in an effort to find where this hope really lies? What do you put your hope in today? What do you put your trust in today? Where does your hope lie? Today, I'm just going to just put before you two states. One state of hopelessness and brokenness. We're going to go head on and face the brokenness of this world. And then lastly, we're going to talk about hope, and the hope that I personally and many in this room and billions around the world know to be only found in Jesus Christ. We'll present it in a way that'll put it before you. And what's beautiful about Jesus is that it's not forced. It's, you know, worship is of your own proclivity. It's of your own volition, I should say. It's of your own choice. Now we'll go back to the scripture that Kylan so beautifully read at the top. Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been betrothed. Everybody say betrothed. Now that's a word you don't often hear today in society. Yes, it is a form of engagement, but in a society that treats relationships and commitment quite flippantly, betrothal is beyond just engagement. It's beyond Beyonce, if you like it, then you should put a ring on it. It's beyond that, right? Like, it goes beyond, betrothal goes beyond that. Betrothal is a level of commitment that I am married to you basically until the, and we'll keep it PG here, the consummation of our marriage, when we will enter into that. So there's that level of dedication to that person. So Mary and Joseph had already made the plans for their life together. Can we go back to that verse? And as you look at that verse, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now, can you imagine this, right? You live in a small town. It's a small Jewish town. How many of you know there's cultural nuances here? How many of us come from cultures where, let's just say, people talk a little bit? And how many of you know that gets amplified even more when the town's small? The town's small. You're of a certain culture. In the Filipino culture, we call this chismis, diba? In Samoan, my culture, faitatala. In Australia, we call that you all talk, mate. All right? So just a lot of chatter, a lot of chit-chat, a lot of gossip going around. They're in this environment, okay? And I want you to read that line. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that? Okay? They're already planning to be married, okay? They're in the process, like heavily into the process of being married. Small town, she's with child. So the thought might be from the community, oh, they did the deed before they got married, right? But Joseph knew in his heart, that's not, I ain't your baby daddy, right? That's not my kid in your womb. And then she rolls up, yeah, it is not your child. It is a child from the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine how crazy that sounds? Are you all with me? Because I need to add some dimensions to this in order for you to understand the weight of what's going on there, right? And her husband, Joseph, being a just man. Some of you all read that, being just a man. No, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. With Old Testament law, there... You know, when there is adultery, right? The engagement of sex outside of marriage, that is a valid reason for divorce. And so what he is, you can imagine the emotions in him, right? He's like, man, who did she hook up with? And like, she won't even tell me the truth. She says it's the Holy Spirit. She says, the child in my womb is from God. Like, she won't even tell me who... This secret relationship is that she has to say that it's from God. So not only is she like in adultery, but she's crazy. She's nuts in his mind. But he had enough foresight. And again, I'm not trying to hear me out, ladies and gentlemen. I believe Mary to be one of the greatest heroes of Scripture. To have to, because I don't want to dismiss what Mary was dealing with, right? Because she was the one carrying the child. And was a lot more evident as the one who had a child outside of visible betrothal, right? And marriage, in preparation for that marriage. So you can imagine the cultural implications there. So I'm not dismissing Mary, okay? What I am trying to get at is Joseph, though, in this talk that we're having. So think about this for a moment. Like, he says, okay, what we'll do, because it's Jewish practice, because it's our practice of the law, is that I will... prepare to divorce her, but I'll do it quietly so as to cover any shame that she might experience, and we'll come up with a plan from them. And that's the weight of this betrothal that they were in, this relationship. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Okay, for those of you who understand the biblical picture of an angel of the Lord, they're not like cute babies in diapers flying around with wings, okay? You know? Pastor Rice Brooks once said it this way, like, angels are not cute babies in diapers. If you ever see an angel, you're going to need a diaper, right? So, as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord, so he was like, wow, appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. Everybody say, do not fear. Turn to somebody and encourage them. Do not fear. Don't fear to take Mary as your wife. Be careful, okay? So some of you are sitting next to single people, and you're like, no, I wouldn't fear to take you as my wife. No, that's not this kind of place, ladies and gentlemen. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So the angel confirms, no, she's telling the truth. Your fiance ain't nuts. She's telling the truth. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Let me just encourage you here, okay? Yes, they are male and female, equal in value to God, but with different roles. What you're seeing here is the nurturing and the bearing of the son is on Mary, and the role of the father is to bring definition by naming his son. And this is a call to all of us as men, that we are the ones that help to bring definition to our children. Like, this is the way to live. And the first prophecy that they receive is their name, because that's the thing that you're going to say the most when you call them, being specific about why you name them that name. Can you imagine like naming your child Peace, and that like they do your head in, like, come here, Peace. told you not to fight with patience. Patience, you should wait. No, I'm just kidding. It's terrible. Anyway, learn to wait. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel. We see this in Isaiah 9. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the Bible, this is in the Old Testament. And this was written and prophesied, actually was stated by Isaiah around 700 years, even before the birth of Jesus. And so let me tell you something. Another reason why we believe Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus is God, and the reason why we worship him, a lot of the reason is because you can try to fake fulfilling prophecy, but you can't fake the way you're born, right? Like, I can't fulfill a prophecy from the womb. Like, I can't be in the womb going, oh, not yet, Mom, we've got to make it to Bethlehem. Like, I can't do that, right? And so this is another reason why there's over 40 prophecies in the Old Testament, and many more if you look deeper, but 40 blatant prophecies of the coming of Jesus being the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament. And this is one of them. You shall call him Emmanuel, which literally means God is with us. And let that be the encouragement to you. God is with you. God is with you. I'll go back to this too. You shall call his name Jesus. And some of you might be like, okay, Jesus and Emmanuel, that's two different names. Well, they're two and one and the same, actually. Because when you understand what the name Jesus means, it means God saves. God saves. Now, go back into the mind of Joseph, or at least attempt to try and think what Joseph was dealing with at the time. It's a roller coaster, right? He's already starting to trip out on, like, man, this marriage is not going to work out. Like, my fiance cheated on me, and she said it's God now. And if it really is God, I doubt that God would do that, or she's worshiping some God. Maybe she's dyslexic and she's been singing like bad worship songs, like How Great Is Our Dog? I don't know. But like, for whatever reason, she sounds really confused right now, and she's pregnant to somebody else. It ain't me. So he's confused at that time. And there's all this societal pressure because he's starting to think, oh man, like they're all going to judge me. They're going to judge my future spouse. And so he's already thinking, oh man, like he's going through this plan because this is not working out the way he planned it to work out. But how many of you know, also in Isaiah, it says his ways are higher and his thoughts are higher. How many of you know, like, if we actually think through why God would enable us, don't worry, I'm not going to wrestle through this question today because it takes a lot to unpack, but just give this some thought. Why would God allow us to go through 2020? His ways are much higher than ours. And there's been some rich awakening within the body of Christ, and some of the things that we have engaged in, some of the ugliness that has risen to the surface because of the way that we've practiced Christianity across the world, that God's starting to see. God said, you know what? I'm going to put you out of your buildings and allow for that to happen so you can see just what you'll put your hope in. And a lot of the hope has been in like productions and meetings like this. A lot of the hope has been more about what we do in a service than it is serving the community and reaching people outside with the love of Jesus. Yes, the gospel is salvific, meaning that it saves us and it changes and transforms our heart from the inside out. Yes, but it transforms us to bring transformation to the community so they will experience the love of Christ. And this is why God wrapped himself in human flesh and walked in the form of Jesus on earth. That's a lot to wrap our minds around. But a lot of the reason why, and it's hard to conceive that 2020 actually could be a gift that God is unwrapping for us in Christmas, that he's trying to show you, look, I'm making you stronger. I'm refining you so you can be more beautiful as my bride for when I return. I'm coming for you. And like, this is why he enables us to walk through these trying times. His name is Jesus. God saves. So think about this again for a moment. Joseph's roller coaster immediately takes an upward route because he's now thinking, wow, God has a higher plan and he's utilizing me. I don't know if you noticed, but he said, Joseph, son of David. So he's automatically starting to think, okay, I'm a part of this lineage. This lineage, again, which adds to the prophetic word that Jesus would be born from the line of David. His name is Jesus. And this is how he deals with it. He sees that in his hopelessness, there is a greater hope if he'll just to learn to look up. Question I want to ask you today is, how do you deal with your brokenness amidst the brokenness of the world? Many cultures, we have many cultures here. This is the reason why our church is called Every Nation. But like, think about it for a moment. There are two sides to a spectrum with how we might deal with the problem of sin and redemption. So on one side of the spectrum, we would deal with it with regards to, okay, sin breeds guilt. And so in order for their guilt to be eradicated, there needs to be justice. And justice needs to be served. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you would see that sin brings shame. And in order for shame to be eradicated, there needs to be honor established. Think about your own culture and the culture you come from, maybe your own ethnicity, that things like how sin is dealt with, or even like when something is done wrong, some of the cultures within this room would deal with it with regards to feeling shameful about it. And some of us would feel a lot more guilty, like there's a repayment that needs to be made. You know, when we have the opportunity to go into the prisons here in Brisbane, we get to deal and talk with a lot of the brothers that are inside there. And you can see that some of the cultures, including like my culture, being a lot more familial and communal, our culture, if there is like the when I talk to the brothers that are from, you know, the Pacific Islands, like myself, you know, when Charles and I and Tim and I, we go inside, you can see that the way that what has happened to them is being dealt with kind of echoes throughout their community, and it brings about a shame because of them bringing shame to their name, or shame to the culture, or to the family, and all of that. Whereas you talk to people from other cultures, it's more, I need to repay my debt to society. Whereas some would say, you know what, I want to just rectify my name with our family. God's hope brings hope for both those situations. God's hope is cross-cultural. So the question we ask is, do you attempt to cover your brokenness because it's shameful? Do you attempt to, for those of you who remember the story in the Bible where it talks about Adam and Eve, their immediate reaction to sin was to cover themselves with fig leaves. And we've been doing that since the beginning of time. It's just our fig leaves look different. Sometimes they're branded, right? Do we attempt to cover up our brokenness and our shame with our career, with financial stability, with our fame or our reputation? Like, I just got to cover that up as long as people don't see. And unfortunately, we live in a time that even people who hold some sort of position of authority unfortunately find themselves like emperors. Those of you who remember the fable of the emperor's new clothes, right? Find ourselves in a moment where our sin, like Leviticus says, will find us out. Or do we attempt to justify ourselves? Well, I'm broken. Everyone's broken. I'm just finding my truth. You just speak your truth. So we just doubt the truth as being absolute, and we just say, you know what, just find your truth and we'll find our way through this life. Only to find that, man, the truth that different people might be living with might actually lead to a situation of even more hopelessness. So do we cover, or do we attempt to justify our brokenness, or do we face our brokenness recognizing that we need someone to save us, and his name is God Saves. His name is Jesus. Now I'm going to answer the question that was asked by Kylan earlier. I don't know if any of you will agree with me, but my favorite Christmas carol is this one, O Holy Night. I'm not saying it's the right answer. I'm speaking my truth. No, I'm just kidding. But it means a lot to me because of a number of different reasons. As a musician, I love the way the melody rises and where it positions itself. I like that it's sung usually by a female, because it gives me a break. I love the dynamicism of the music. But beyond that, I mean, look at these lyrics, man. This is the first verse. We're going to sing it later on, but O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth, the one who saves us, right? Long lay the world in sin and error pining. Oh, the meaning of that pining, there's this craving for that which you know exists, but you can't gravitate towards, right? Till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. The thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. How many of you know 2020 needs that line right there? For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night, oh, holy night. Oh, night divine. I'm just going to read this for you because this Christmas carol, one of the reasons this Christmas carol's really special is on Christmas Eve of 1870, there was a battle that was going on between the French and the Germans. And it was on Christmas Eve, right? During the Franco-Prussian War, an intense battle was taking place between the French and German soldiers. Suddenly, a French soldier jumped up from the trenches. Can you imagine, like, this battle going on between the two parties? And just this hopelessness because they're wiping each other out. And then this one soldier, the French soldier, jumped from the trenches, exposing himself to the enemy's fire. Before either, can you imagine him? Hi, guys! And then before either side could figure out what to do, he began singing the French version of O Holy Night, and then sang it in English. Each side froze as he sang of the birth of the Messiah. As the last chords of his solo faded into the night, a German soldier emerged from his hideout and began to sing, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come, a popular Christmas carol in Germany. Both sides apparently joined together to sing an Austrian carol. Sounds like an Every Nation conference. And fighting ceased for the following 24 hours. That's why it's called Boxing Day, because after that, then they... No, I'm just kidding. Terrible, terrible. But like the power of the revelation of this message that was sung, a thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. Can you imagine them like in battle-stricken fear that they may lose their lives? And many of us have had that kind of 2020 where we've needed the thrill of hope in a weary world that rejoices. Another reason why I love that carol is it speaks of the stars, right? And then it's the emergence of the world coming to the place of the birth of Christ. And when I think about the Magi who came from the East, nations that are completely unfamiliar with Jesus and Israel, but for whatever reason, they saw the emerging of a star and came from thousands of miles to be there at the birth of Jesus. There's something compelling about knowing that God saves not just Israelites, but the rest of the world. Just think about that for a moment. That Jesus didn't just come for the Jew. He came for all of us, no matter what nations we're from. We come together to worship him. Another reason why I love this carol is that if you study it, like it's written in originally in French, but then the English translator translated it with the same heart as the French writer. And as he wrote the third verse, you see the emergence of these lyrics. And it speaks to the abolishment of slavery, not just slavery from sin, but for us to walk together in justice, the way that Christ has come to give us the hope. Truly, he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother. And in his name, all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy and grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Then ever, ever praise we. His power and glory forever, evermore proclaim. His power and glory evermore proclaim. proclaim. This is the hope that we find in Christ. If we think about all of the issues that this world has dealt with and continues to deal with, whether it's sickness and disease, whether it's economic uncertainty, whether it's understanding that the government is in control, whether it's racial and social injustice, all of these issues can find their solutions and saving in the birth of Jesus Christ. Think about this for a moment. Jesus was born in a situation, when you see the nature of how he was born, he had to endure being a refugee because of Herod putting a decree out to kill the firstborn because he heard there was another king that was emerging. So he experienced what it was like to be a refugee, from birth, know what it's like to be a child without a home. He was worshipped by shepherds and kings, opposite sides of the economic spectrum. And the kings would bring him valuable, infinitely valuable at that time, gifts, because they recognized the one of true value was born in that manger. And Mary herself would be marginalized. Joseph himself would be marginalized. But for them to experience and know that they were a part of a greater plan, a greater hope, is the reason why we celebrate Christmas. And if you are here today and you are a follower of Christ, you have the hope of glory living inside of you. And the world and Brisbane and whatever suburb and community that you live in, they need that hope. How can we stay silent when the hope for racial and social injustice is in your heart, when the hope for economic uncertainty is in your life, when the hope for the true vaccine is living within you? So I take it back to this, the way I started this message, with my brother-in-law, who, for the most part, if he didn't have Christ, would have no reason to live. Battling COVID, losing his spouse, his beloved spouse, in the process, and still recovering. He's not fully recovered yet, but he's on his way. But you know what? He has the hope. He has the hope of Christ living inside of him, giving him life. Jesus is life, and life abundantly. And there's two types of people that are in this room or watching this today. And there are those of us that are alive in Christ. And I want to encourage you, if you are alive in Christ, don't get religious with it. Like, live. Live and let other people see that that's the only way to live. Don't walk around with your face looking like you've been sucking on lemons the whole week. Like, look like life. Because he is life. His joy, Nehemiah 8:10, is your strength. And though we may be weary, it's been that sort of year, we find our peace, we find our rest in him. And for those of you who are in this room or watching online, again, that you may not know this hope, I want to encourage you. It's no accident you're here. You come to the right place to be able to encounter this hope, encounter this life that you can find in Jesus. Later on, during our time together, I'll give you an opportunity to respond to it. But we're going to spend some time worshiping this king. Much like those kings, much like the shepherds, much like Joseph and Mary themselves, and 2+ billion people around the world are doing during this season, we're going to worship that source of hope. And my prayer is, beyond my ability to communicate this, that you'll encounter him. You'll meet him beyond me. Because it's not on me. It's on you meeting Jesus. It's on you meeting Jesus. What we're going to do is, usually here at Every Nation Brisbane, for those of you, this is your first time, we have a time to just reflect. And I'm going to throw this question up on the screen. And the question is, what is the source of hope for your life? What is the source of hope for your life? It's easy to say, for those of you who are Christian, it's Jesus. Really, is it? Like, when I look at what I put my trust in, like when the pressure is really on, is it really him? And then for those of you who, again, maybe he's not the source of hope for you, I at least want to start the conversation around, how is your source of hope working out for you? Not in judgment, just want to ask. Like, is it really working out for you? Is it money? Is it artistic freedom? Is it like fame, popularity, whatever it is? So I'm going to give you a moment. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give you a moment to discuss. And then I believe we've got our amazing friends who are going to come minister to us and playing some beautiful string Christmas carols as we discuss as well. So let me pray for you, and then we'll go to this time. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for just this wonderful sense of your presence. Lord, I'm praying that wherever people are, whether they're watching online or they're here today, I thank you so much, Lord, that you are showing us today that you are the source of hope that we can trust in. And Lord, again, beyond my ability to communicate this, I pray that people would meet you. Lord, it's more than just us putting together a service. Lord, it's about you. It's about you showing up and showing yourself strong. So God, have your way in this place. Show people how much you love them in this room. Show them that there's no accident. It's not accidental that they're here or they're watching online. That your purpose for this moment, to see that this goes beyond the commercialism of what we often find here in Australia of Christmas. So God, come and have your way. Even as we discuss, may you be all over every discussion and conversation that happens. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.